It's episode 215 of Vegas Revealed. David Blaine blows our mind. We went to see his latest show at Wynn Las Vegas.
And I actually held my breath for 20 minutes and 2 seconds. but I weighed 50 pounds less or so.
And we ran into food critic John Curtis on the streets of downtown Las Vegas, and we had to ask him about the latest on the Vegas food scene.
One of the reasons I'm not retiring is because every week there seems to be another exciting restaurant to open up, so I got to go all over town now.
Formula One is back in November. We talked to the chief operating officer about the changes in place to make the race a better experience for everyone.
Plus, Sammy Hagar has a new island at the Palms. We explain in tips.
All that and more coming up on Vegas Revealed.
Vegas Revealed, presented by Level Up Law, starts now.
It's episode 215 of Vegas Revealed. Welcome, everyone. Dana Roselli and Sean McAllister here, joining you to talk about, oh my gosh, a very long list of topics this week.
It is. I mean, and it runs the gamut from casino closures to entertainment to making a splash at the pool. We've got it all covered.
All of it. Formula One. But listen, we wanted to talk about the Tropicana closing briefly. I know we've been kind of pumping up, you know, that it has been closing. We said we were going to go. We did go. But some interesting tidbits that we learned, saw when we were there. We went April 1st and the casino floor was closing at 3 a.m. The doors locked the following day at noon. On April 2nd.
Yeah, and when we were there, we walked through and it was a very eerie kind of feeling because half the slot machines had already been turned off. Like the internal workings of them were taken out. The doors were kind of just like left hanging open. So it was just like the shell of a slot machine. And then when we got over to the table games, people have been going in there to get their souvenir chips. They're $1 and $5 chips. And there were like computer printouts that were posted up at each of the table games that said that they ran out. They're no longer selling $1 and $5 chips.
Right.
That's how much demand there was.
Yeah. I mean, people love taking a piece of history, right? Especially in Vegas. And this opened in 1957, just in case you didn't know and you haven't listened to a previous podcast of ours. And, you know, closed, it actually opened in April of 1957, closed in April of 2024. So it's been a long time, tons of history, but also, you know, a lot of ties to the mob. And I guess that's what kind of makes it even more interesting, I think, to a lot of people, because it was such a big deal when it opened and it was such a big deal when it was open in the earlier days.
Yeah, I mean, and it was the most expensive Las Vegas resort ever built at the time that it opened. $15 million it cost, which was like absurd back in the day. But yeah, there are those mob ties, which a lot of our early casinos had, but the Tropicana is kind of one of the last standing remnants of that period of time in Las Vegas.
Yeah. And so we met one of the workers there who was showing us some pictures on her phone. And I was kind of talking to someone else and glancing, and I was really interested, but you took a closer look. So what was she showing?
So she and some of her fellow employees, she was like, yeah, we went on a scavenger hunt in this building. We went down in the basement, like in the bowels of the building, up into the ceiling, up above that Tiffany glass ceiling that covers the table games. Mm-hmm. There's walkways up there where like the eyes in the sky used to look down and make sure that no one was cheating at the table games.
Ooh.
So, I mean, those perches are still up there in the ceiling. There's also these carousels that were used in Folies Bergère, these big carousel props. Mm-hmm. Those are still up in the ceiling, hidden. Down in the basement, she said they ran across all these hidden bars, and she was showing pictures, and they were just like these tiny little hardwood oak rooms that were like essentially little speakeasies.
Interesting.
And I was thinking, what in the world could those have been used for? But tying it back to the mob,
yeah,
I mean,
who knows?
Those guys needed some secret spaces to chat and do business.
Interrogate people?
I suppose. And interrogate people.
Oh, man.
And she said there were a few rooms that seemed like they would have been used for that down there.
Right, right.
But what was really cool, I thought, if you look at some old pictures of the Tropicana, right there at the corner of Trop and Las Vegas Boulevard, there used to be this big fountain the big Tropicana fountain. And the foundation of that is still down underneath the floor of the current building.
Mm-hmm.
Like all this, the rock foundation of it. And you could tell that that's where the fountain sat. So it just really is interesting. And, you know, as the demolition begins, major demolition is set for October, but there are just layers and layers of history that are going to be peeled back.
And yeah, no, and hopefully imploded, because we love a good implosion here in Las Vegas.
We do. It's a rite of passage, I think.
And, you know, I mean, in more recent years, it's funny because you find, or you see, I guess, when everyone's talking about the Trop closing, like both ends where people are like, oh my God, I'm going to miss it. And a lot of those people really spent a lot of time there in the olden days. I feel like people that have been there more recently are kind of like, yeah, well, it needed to go.
Yeah. Well, it's funny.
Or you never stepped foot in it. Why are you so sad it's closing?
And that's the kind of comment that I've seen a lot of.
Yeah.
And like, I think you can still be sentimental about a property like that without ever having been like a regular customer.
Yeah.
You know, the property did introduce a sense of luxury to Las Vegas when it opened that hadn't been seen before. And, you know, that luxury trend has continued on since. So we do have the Trop to thank for that.
Yeah, that's very true.
And just a lavish kind of ambiance.
I love that Elvis Presley walked through there.
So did you retrace his footsteps?
I didn't, because I don't know that. You know, I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't that sentimental over the Trop closing. I'm just gonna put it out there. I don't know why. I just kind of feel like even when we were in there, it has not been updated the way that it should have been. I was looking at the cracking seats, and but like I said, like in the day, but I feel like it needed to close.
It was its time. That's why I think an implosion is the right way to go.
Yeah.
Because implosions always go down in Vegas history.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. All right. We also went to David Blaine over at the Wynn Las Vegas. Listen, we absolutely love this show. My mind was blown. I think yours was too. At half the things that he did there on stage, we've gone to see his show at Resorts World. It was good there too, but I don't know. This one was maybe a little more intimate, and he stuck to more card tricks. What else?
Well, I would say it's stunts. More like up close for the most part, like up close magic tricks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of audience participation involved,
right?
A lot of interaction with the audience, and it really did. It felt way more intimate than it did over at Resorts World.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, everything that he did. I mean, you just don't even try and analyze or try and figure it out. I just feel like, I mean, that was incredible. How the heck? That's impossible. You just kind of believe that had to be magic.
Yeah. You do. Know,
you do.
So David Blaine's show is over at the Encore Theater at Wynn Las Vegas. And one of his big tricks, stunts, whatever you want to call it, is holding his breath underwater.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I feel like, first of all, that is huge. It's very big. But I must say, the things that he did before that, for me, I was even more blown away at, but and maybe because I've seen him do the holding breath thing before.
Right.
We're very lucky we've been back twice, you know, but that's incredible. He held his breath for 9 minutes underwater, which is like how, whatever. But I mean, obviously he's been training for it. And so people did have questions after he kind of, you know, got up, got out at 9 minutes, you know, wrapped a blanket around himself and then talked to the audience. A lot of people had questions. So listen to some of the things that he said, how he kind of prepares for this and more details about exactly what he did.
What happens is we don't black out underwater from lack of oxygen, which is counterintuitive because you think, oh, you're running out of air. No, what happens is our body is so brilliant. It has all these mechanisms to save us. So basically, when you're underwater trying to hold your breath, you're getting alerts, and the CO2 buildup is what causes the pain, and that's what makes you need to breathe. So we have a very long reserve to be able to actually survive in extreme situations.
Yeah, it really was interesting hearing David just sit down and take questions and explain like what your body goes through under those circumstances.
Yeah, I find him so interesting. He's like mysterious and
he's very, I don't know.
Go see David Blaine. He's back in May for a bunch of shows over at the Encore Theater at Wynn. I absolutely loved it. And I felt like if you're going to go into a show and leave talking about it, that is definitely one to go see.
That's the one. And he doesn't tour with his show either. So you have to come to Vegas to see it.
Yeah. Hey, you know who else is coming? Duran Duran. They are coming to the Wynn Las Vegas, actually, May 3rd and 4th. Okay. That was just announced. Both shows at 8 p.m. I know a bunch of people that saw them last time and thought it was fantastic. So we're glad that Duran Duran will be back in Las Vegas. They have some classics.
They do. And also over at Wynn, it's going to be a homecoming for R&B star Neo. He grew up here in Las Vegas, of course, made it big. I believe he lives in Atlanta now. But he's coming home performing at the Encore Theater this summer in August with back-to-back shows. He's bringing his Neo Human Love Rebellion tour here. So I have a feeling Neo is going to bring the energy and really put on an extra special show for the hometown crowd.
I think so too. Hey, and Adele announced those postponed dates. Remember, she had to cancel because she wasn't feeling well for a while, like the whole month. And she promised that she would make those up, and those dates have been moved to like October and November. So if you had tickets before, I'm sure you've had the alert, but glad to see that Adele is going to give that chance to all the folks who had planned to see her.
All right, let's talk Formula One. We know that there were a lot of people who had a lot to say about the race at the end of last year. Well, the race is coming back again, November 21st through 23rd. But this year, organizers are kind of taking a different approach and making really strong efforts to make the race more accessible to Las Vegas locals.
Yeah, Betsy Fretwell is the new chief operating officer of the Las Vegas Grand Prix. We recently spoke with her on the F1 track about the criticism that the race has received and what they are doing about that and how they're changing it.
This is going to be a completely different year. Last year, there was repaving for months all around this area. People felt the impacts of those traffic detours, delays, etc. Not going to happen like that this year. Much different experience. We're also going to be building this circuit in phases, so you're going to see us coming. That way you can plan your routes around that, and I think that's going to be critically important.
There were a lot of opinions around last year's race, but it seemed like a lot of the, I'll say, negative opinions came from people who didn't experience the race firsthand. Is that why there's outreach to Nevada locals now?
Absolutely. I've been on a listening tour for 60 days now, and boy, I've heard a lot, which is great. You know, that's exactly what I wanted to find out, where people are, what they're thinking about, what worked, what didn't work, what we can improve on. And we've done some great stuff in our ticketing platform this year that will create opportunities for our locals first to be able to take advantage of our on-sale tickets, and at a very affordable price point at $150. So you can come and experience the race, be able to take full advantage of the experience, hear it and see it firsthand here on our streets in Vegas. It's a very exciting program.
After the race last year, I felt like people around the world, because they had never seen it here, you know, were skeptical going in, like, you know, big racing fans. But then they were like, wow, that was pretty cool. I mean, that's got to feel good, too. The more people see it, the more people experience it, you know that it's going to get better and better.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting, having had the experience that I've had here, you've seen major events come to this town. And the first year or so, it's like a learning curve moment. And then, boom, you just hit on all cylinders. And then everybody's like, oh, my God, that was great. So, you know, hey, we have some things that we worked on last year. We're going to continue to work to improve this year. And, yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
Was there any inspiration gleaned from the way the NFL operates in the lead up?
Super Bowl did some really incredible things around small business activation. Engaging the public in a variety of lead-in events. We're working on all of that. One of my big priorities this year is to really focus in on that small business activation. We're going to be including local small businesses in our hospitality and beverage production this year. We'll have some local events that will drive additional participation. We're working with a whole host of partners around town, and we're excited about the opportunity. It's going to be different, and I think people are going to really love it.
It was great to be over there and talk to Betsy. Tickets for the Las Vegas Grand Prix are on sale now. There are 7,000 general admission tickets that were added this year. Also, some new general admission zones. Ticket prices start at $150, which is pretty darn reasonable.
Yeah. And yeah, I love how transparent she was. That was great to talk to her. Hey, and Sean, want to remind everyone, Vegas Revealed is presented by Level Up Law. You don't have to live in Nevada to get help from Level Up Law either.
Yeah, if you experienced a slip and fall, were injured at a place of business or on a construction site, give Level Up Law a call. Maybe you have a wrongful death case or been in a motor vehicle accident, even harmed in a rideshare. Call Level Up Law now. Their number is 855-LEVEL-UP. That's 855-LEVEL-UP.
Yeah, even if you have property damage, wind resulting in downed trees, wildfires, or water damage, the experienced team at Level Up Law can help you. Go to leveluplaw.com for more information, or again, call them at 855-LEVEL-UP.
Well, you know, Dana, in doing research for the podcast and the TV show, we go and eat at a lot of restaurants, but I wouldn't necessarily consider us foodies, right? We kind of leave that to the experts, and we ran into one recently.
Yeah, food critic John Curtis. He's been in town for a long time. We ran into him on the streets of downtown Las Vegas. We wanted to know some of the trends and hotspots right now. So we said, hey, John, do you mind if we like talk to you and interview you real quick? And he was like, no, why not? So anyway, we were able to talk with John. It was a great conversation. And we talked to him a little bit about what we've noticed lately. And that is that more off-strip restaurants are being talked about over the last couple years. So we asked him all about this.
I think the real foodies, the real in-the-know people are coming off-strip. They're going to Chinatown. They're coming downtown. They're going to downtown Summerlin. They're going to the southwest end of town. I mean, we have all these great local options now that nobody thought would ever happen like 5 years ago. But the last 5 years have just been fantastic.
What do you think it is that lured chefs who trained on the Strip under these huge culinary names? What is it that lured them out into the neighborhoods of Las Vegas?
That's a great question. What lured them here? Well, I think it was almost like the Strip was their trial by fire. I mean, they became combat veterans after working for, 2, 3, 10 years on the Strip. And then they looked around and realized that the market was really underserved in the neighborhoods. And the rents were relatively cheap compared to California. They're way cheaper, to open a restaurant here. Square footage, construction costs, utilities, labor, a lot cheaper. So they had the talent, they had the experience, and they realized that there was a market here that needed to be catered to. James Trees at Esther's Kitchen is just the most recent and best example of the whole thing. But there's dozens of great restaurants now that makes it just one of the reasons I'm not retiring is because every week there seems to be another exciting restaurant to open up. So I got to go all over town now,
Well, here we sit in 2024. We're Vegas Revealed. So reveal what you're looking forward to. Is there anything opening, anything coming soon that you're waiting for?
There's a Mexican place coming to Fontainebleau, which is a Mexican seafood place, which is really something you don't see much of in Las Vegas. And it is fantastic. I've been to the one in Mexico City. So I think Fontainebleau has a real murderer's row of great restaurants in it. It's been slow to get traction. But you go there, the facility is gorgeous. I mean, Mother Wolf, Don's Prime, Q, they've got a place called China. They've got this really weird called Washing Potato Dim Sum place. But I mean, the restaurants there are really strong, and they've got more on their way. So, I say, more great restaurants from Mexico City, less Gordon Ramsay, okay?
Poor Gordon.
No, Gordo's a good guy. But I mean, we don't need a ninth Gordon Ramsay restaurant or Guy Fieri's seventh, bar and grill on the Strip. I mean, we need more James Trees. We need more great chefs coming out to the neighborhoods, and that's what we're getting these days.
Well, John always speaks his mind, right?
He does.
But I love that he said, "Oh, Gordo." I mean, I think he likes, Guy Fieri and Gordon Ramsay and knows how good they are. But he was just saying, we have a lot of those restaurants.
Well, I think the point he was making mm-hmm. is that like being super saturated doesn't free up room for other people to slide in. But that is what's happening off the Strip.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you like what John had to say, you want to hear more about, some of his food
endeavors.
Endeavors.
Experiences.
Experiences. I was going to say critics, criticism. He doesn't always have criticism, but sometimes he's very honest on Twitter. I love watching his feed. Anyway, he has a website called eatinglv.com. He also hosts the Eat Talk Repeat podcast as well, if you're interested in listening to John.
All right, let's get to tips. We are making a splash with our tips this week. They are totally pool related, and they're centered, both of our tips, over at the Palms Pool.
Yeah, Sammy's Island is coming to the Palms Pool, and you're like, who's Sammy? Sammy Hagar. People love Sammy Hagar. He's great.
The Red Rocker.
He is wonderful. We've interviewed him many times, and he's such a good guy. I love how much time he spends in Las Vegas, and I love that he's doing this. And I know he has a huge following, and when you think about, you know, a little island kind of bar, you think sometimes Sammy Hagar. It debuts May 17th, and it's, what do you call it, inspired by, you know, a lot of his music, his Baja vibe.
Yeah, and Sammy's Island is going to be a whole section over at the Palms Pool. It'll be open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sammy Hagar's signature cocktails are going to be available there, some island-inspired menu items as well. So definitely the Cabo vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy's bringing here to the Palms Pool.
Right. Who doesn't love Cabo? So, all right. And this one is tailored for Vegas locals and industry insiders. It's called Swimdustry. It starts April 22nd at the Palms Pool. And this is pretty cool. They've got Don Julio 1942 shots for $19.42, Heineken beer specials, free day beds for locals that are 21 and over. They've got beer pong, giant Jenga, cornhole, live DJs. So it sounds really fun. And that's over there at the Palms Pool as well. And again, Mondays, starting Monday, April 22nd.
I'd say that's a sounds like a good way to kick off the week.
Yeah, I know. A free day bed for locals. So, you know, who doesn't love a free day bed? Because you usually have to pay for them.
And if you're listening now and you're not a local, maybe this will entice you to become one.
Or become friends with a local.
Or become friends with one. Exactly.
Do people like still sneak into places? Is that still a thing?
I don't know. It's been so long since I've had to sneak into somewhere.
Now I sneak out.
Yeah, I know. It's funny how the tables turn, isn't it?
I used to sneak in. Now I sneak out.
Oh, my God.
I always look at you sometimes and I'm like, hey, I'm going to go without saying goodbye, okay?
Listen, sometimes you have to because you end up having so many conversations on your way out the door mm-hmm. that you end up being like the last person at whatever event it is.
Right. Anyway, I think we've all been there, right?
We have.
The older we get.
That's what happens. That's it's inevitable. Happens. We want to thank our sponsors, Level Up Law. If you need any law advice, if there's a slip or fall, anything, give Level Up a call, 855-LEVEL-UP, or you can go online to levelup.law.com.
Yeah. Good people over there. Also, if you are coming to Vegas or you live here, download the Vegas Near Me app. Again, it's free. You don't have to put in your email. They've got maps inside casinos, parking fees. That's always good to know before you go.
It is. And how much time you get for free to park.
Exactly. That's a big deal. And we're going to talk about that in an upcoming podcast, too. So
we've got a lot to say.
Stay tuned for that. But download the Vegas Near Me app. It's always really, really helpful to have on your phone and nice and easy.
We will see you back here on Vegas Revealed next week. And remember to follow us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Also TikTok and our YouTube channel where you can also see our Vegas Revealed on TV shows.
Yeah, and we're celebrating the show. We got some nice numbers in for March, so thank you everyone that's been watching. We're excited about it, and we're going to continue. In April, we are on Sundays at 4 o'clock. There you go. We got a time all month. So 4 p.m., you can catch us on Fox 5.
Now you know what you're doing every Sunday.
Yes, or love DVR it. Set that DVR.
There we go. We will see you back next week. Thanks for listening. How do I buy tickets for that show? Where is the closest restaurant with a view? My kids are with me. Is there an age restriction for that attraction?
These are just some of the questions that the new Vegas Near Me app will answer for you. Vegas Near Me quite literally takes the guesswork out of planning your next Las Vegas trip. It is so helpful.
With constantly updated information, business hours, menus, ticket prices, parking costs, Vegas Near Me is a one-stop shop.
It really is. And here's the deal. It's free and you don't have to sign up, become a member. It is simple. Download Vegas Near Me today from the Apple App Store or from Google Play. If it's fun to do or see, it's on Vegas Near Me.